Welcome to DAC Beachcross Lawcast. My name is Alexander Bayer and I'm a partner at BLD, which is a partner law firm to DACB for Germany. And I'm here with Christopher Ehrer.
Hello.
Hello. Who's a partner at the DACB office in Manchester. So we're excited to present to you on the topic of high-risk AI systems preparing for the year ahead. Looking at the regulatory requirements, it is imperative that we turn our focus to the systems that carry the greatest potential for both progress and peril. High-risk AI systems, by their nature, demand our utmost attention and diligence. These are the systems that power critical sectors from healthcare and transportation to finance and public safety. The AI Act follows a risk-based approach and therefore sets up this additional category of high-risk AI systems. The aim of this is to avoid significant harmful impact on health, safety, and fundamental rights by AI systems. In a study published in Germany in 2023, it was stated that about 18% of all AI systems are to be considered high-risk AI systems. Of course, this study could not consider the final definition of the high-risk AI systems within the AI Act. However, it shows that there are still a lot of AI systems which should be considered as sensitive and therefore follow additional rules. To begin with, it's crucial to understand what constitutes a high-risk AI system compared to a normal AI system. This definition sets the foundation for the responsibilities and obligations we will discuss today. The AI Act has a definition for artificial intelligence in Article 3, which basically states that an AI system is a machine-based system that is designed to operate with varying levels of autonomy and that may exhibit adaptiveness after the deployment and that infers from the input it receives how to generate outputs such as predictions, content, or recommendations, or even decisions. According to Article 6 of the regulation, AI systems are deemed high risk if they are intended to be used as a safety component of a product or if the AI system itself is a product and this product is requiring third-party conformity assessment. More important for our case studies today is Article 6, Para 3, which refers to Annex 3 and lists different purposes for AI systems, which shall be high-risk systems. Amongst others, this covers biometrics, education and vocational training, employment and access to enjoyment of essential private services, essential public services like life and health insurance. But even if an AI system falls under Annex 3, it can be exempted from the definition if it does not impose a significant risk for health, safety, or fundamental rights of natural persons, including no material influence in decision-making. This, for example, can be assumed if the AI system is only performing a very narrow procedural task, or if it only improves a previously completed human activity. On the other side, this exemption is very limited and can only apply in a very few cases, as we will see later on. So, Chris, maybe you can give us a short overview of the key obligations for high-risk AI systems.
Sure. Thanks, Alex. Okay, so turning to Chapter 3 and its five sections, just to give a broad overview of what this part of the Act sets out regarding high-risk AI systems. So Section 1 is essentially what Alex has summarized regarding the classification of high-risk AI systems. Section 2 then sets out Articles 8 to 15, which are various important but quite general obligations, mostly on organizations who are known as providers, who are essentially the entity who develops the high-risk AI system or has it developed on their behalf and places it on the market or puts it into service under their own name or trademark. And these obligations range from a requirement to have a risk management system in place, obligations around data and governance, technical documentation, record keeping, transparency, human oversight, accuracy, robustness, and cybersecurity. And essentially, it's about how the product is designed. And the key part of this is also a requirement to have what's called a conformity assessment, which is essentially an assessment carried out by a third party to confirm that the AI system meets the requirements set out in this Section 2 of Chapter 3. So it's a really important part of the app, particularly relating to organizations who actually develop the AI tool. Section 3 then covers various specific obligations imposed on four different categories of parties who have to comply with the Act, namely the providers who we've just mentioned, deployers, who are essentially the organizations or the businesses using the AI system under their authority, importers who are EU-based parties who basically put the AI system on the market, but it bears the name or trademark of another party in a third country, and distributors who are another party in the supply chain other than a provider or importer that makes it available on the market. So, yeah, that's section three. Then we've got section four, which covers obligations of what are known as notifying authorities and notified bodies. The distinction being that the former is a national authority responsible for assessing, designating, and notifying regarding conformity assessments and ongoing monitoring of the same. And a notified body is a body who actually carries out the conformity assessment for the provider. Section five of this chapter three then sets up various obligations around things like standards, conformity assessments, certification, registration, and so forth. So that's chapter three. We'll then look briefly at the obligations imposed on the four different categories of organizations who are caught by the Act: providers, deployers, importers, and distributors. So providers, obviously, we've covered some of their obligations in section two, and they often have to comply with those around the sort of design and development of the tool. They also have to make sure that their address, their contact details is contained on the product and on the packaging, have in place a quality management system, which essentially entails a lot of documentation about the ongoing monitoring of the quality of the system, keep various logs and accompanying technical documentation, obviously comply with the conformity assessment. They need to be registered on an EU database of high-risk AI system providers and be able to demonstrate upon request by a national competent authority that they are conforming with Section 2. As far as the deployers are concerned, their main obligations are set out in Articles 26 and 27. So as I said, the deployer is the organisation who's essentially the customer effectively purchasing the AI system and using it in their business. And their obligations, which we'll explore in a bit more detail as part of the case studies we're going to look at shortly, they have to comply with the instructions for use of the AI system, make sure there's human oversight in its use, consider data quality in terms of the input data, keep data logs in terms of the data that's generated by the systems, make sure that their employees are aware that the AI system's in use, have a process for reporting incidents if anything concerning arises through use of the system, and make sure their use of the system aligns with the Data Protection Impact Assessment, DPIA. And I'll explore each of these in a bit more detail during the two case studies we'll look at. There are also additional obligations for deployers who are public authorities and or those who are using high-risk AI systems for criminal investigation or law enforcement purposes for post-remote biometric identification in particular. But for the purpose of this podcast, we're not going to delve into those aspects because it gets really complicated. As far as importers and distributors are concerned, their obligations are slightly less onerous. They are essentially another layer of protection and accountability in the EU. Importers obviously need to make sure that if the high-risk AI system that's developed by a third party in a country outside of the EU is brought onto the market, that they need to make sure that it is nonetheless in conformity with the Act and that all the conformity assessment procedures have been complied with by the third-party provider overseas, and be able to demonstrate that and notify the authorities if there's any concerns. Distributors similarly have to carry out those verifications and not allow the system to be available on the market if it doesn't conform. And ultimately, may have to withdraw the systems if there's concerns. So that's broadly, in a summary, the obligations imposed on different types of parties in that part of the Act. Alex, do you want to perhaps bring this to light a little bit in terms of setting out in a case study? I think you're going to give an insurance example in particular about how this will apply to deployers in particular.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Yeah, to illustrate the practical applications and challenges of the high-risk AI systems, we have actually selected two case studies, and let's start with the insurance industry example. The insurance industry is used to processing huge amount of personal data as a data controller. And in the insurance industry, actually, AI systems are already used today for risk assessment, fraud detection, and customer service automation. However, ensuring accuracy and fairness in these applications presents significant challenges. In our case study, a fictitious German insurance company called Risky Assurance wants to use AI technologies to strengthen their underwriting in health insurance and maybe even personal liability business. By doing so, they want to avoid cases of fraud and they want to improve their risk assessment in order to offer lower premium. Indeed, they assume that they might reduce the premium on a level of 10% overall if they are using an AI software from a startup, RiskTech. This startup will use data available at the insurance company for risk assessment in underwriting. They ask you as a legal counsel within the company where this kind of software is permissible and to set up the most important steps in order to be compliant with legal requirements. So how are you going to solve this? First step, you need to consider whether the intended AI system is prohibited under the AI Act, which is defined in Article 5. And as I know, my colleague Chris will take a closer look at this later on. I don't think that we need to go into more detail at this time, as the application that's intended to be used here is obviously not prohibited. Assuming that we have an AI system here, we will need to consider whether the intended use falls under the definition for high-risk AI systems. And following from Annex 3, we might have a high-risk AI system if the AI system is used for risk assessment and pricing in relation to natural persons in case of life and health insurance. Now, bearing this in mind, we can already say that using the AI system for liability insurance doesn't fall under the definition of high-risk AI systems. However, the question is whether the use within life and health insurance might be a high-risk AI system. Looking at the fact that Risk Assurance want to use the AI system for risk assessment and pricing, it's likely that it falls under Article 6 of the regulation and therefore constitutes a high-risk AI system. If, however, the AI system will only improve decision-making by humans, it might not fall under the definition. However, the involvement of humans itself is, on the other side, not sufficient to extract this from the Annex 3. So please bear in mind that GDPR is applicable next to the AI Act, and therefore the further requirements under Article 22 GDPR also apply here. Furthermore, it should be noted that the list of examples can still be adapted and modified by the European Commission, so the existing definitions might still change in details over time. So what's next? As a next step, you should verify that you are only a deployer using an AI system which has been developed by a provider. This might change as soon as you start to change, for example, the purpose of the AI system or the kind of data which is being used within. But even as a deployer, you have several duties to comply with, as Chris already showed in his overview, and which you should take into consideration. Looking at the kind of measures that have to be taken, we would recommend to work with checklists and internal guidelines, so you make sure you have all the legal requirements set up for potential control or any kind of legal conflict coming up in the future. In general, there are technical and organizational measures. There are monitoring rules, and there are also training or qualification requirements which you should take into account. Looking at the technical organizational measures, it is very important that you ensure compliance with legal requirements under the AI Act, but also under different legal requirements, and that you perform a fundamental right impact assessment looking at the fact that you are using a high-risk AI system. You also need to consider that you might be required to fulfill notification duties in case of risks occurs and comes to your attention out of the AI system. For doing so, it makes sense to have a notification procedures in place, but also criteria in place for assessment of risks in terms of Article 79 AI Act. Besides this, you should especially pay attention to the fact that you must apply the instructions for use and take appropriate technical and organizational measures to ensure that the system is being used in line with the instructions which you receive yourself from the provider. Looking at the timeline, taking up qualification and training requirement might be your first priority, as these rules already apply beginning from February 2025. So you need to make sure all people assigned to human oversight have sufficient competence and you have staff which is sufficiently trained and qualified. Following from Article 26, Paragraph 4, to the extent the deployer exercises control over the input data, that deployer shall ensure that input data is relevant and sufficiently representative in view of the intended purpose of the high-risk AI system. So you need to make sure data, you need to have a proceeding in place for data quality. Therefore, even a deployer needs to take a closer look at the input data. While training data is required to be complete, free of errors, relevant, and sufficiently representative, a deployer only has limited duties regarding data control. However, in order to assess whether data is relevant and representative, you need to consider in what way you want to use the AI system internally. The problem with AI systems is that relevance is coming from the amount of data which is being provided, and that can hardly be predicted in advance. Therefore, the understanding in literature is rather that data is not relevant if it only clearly does not have a meaning for the purpose of AI system. So it's rather wide. Looking at the question of whether data is representative, you need to define the group of people which are being affected by your AI system so you don't have the risk of creating a bias. Therefore, it makes sense to take a closer look in what way the risk is being assessed internally at your insurance company and in what way the AI system might derive from this. Also, it's very important to avoid any kind of discrimination, looking at the local laws in Germany, for example, the AGG law. Besides these duties under the AI Act, of course, you also need to consider different legal requirements from other regulations. Especially, you need to make sure that GDPR requirements are being fulfilled, and data SEP checks are being informed about properly under Articles 13 and 14 GDPR. Besides this, you should assess on what legal basis you are allowed to use personal data for processing in AI systems. Looking at the technical and organizational measures, but also requirements for guidelines and notification duties, you might think of using existing structures that you already have in place. The insurance industry already has a lot of experience with similar structures, so you might think of using those which are already in place and amend those. When setting up an agreement with a software provider like the startup in our example, you need to make sure that you consider data processing requirements like a data processing agreement, but also other regulatory requirements like DORA or outsourcing requirements. Finally, it makes sense to take a look at the liability aspects which are being created by using AI system in risk assessment. So summarizing the use case of insurance, we assume it is possible to use AI systems in order to perform risk assessment even within the health insurance industry. However, when setting up such a system, you need to take careful view on the general legal requirements from the AI Act, as well as data quality and other regulatory requirements. Therefore, it makes sense to have an AI risk management in place and to have all these requirements being checked. So, Chris, let's take a look at your example.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, so the next case study I'm going to briefly talk through is in relation to, again, obligations on employers, but looking in particular at use of biometric-related high-risk AI systems, including facial recognition technology. So the two, I guess, major points that I'm keen to illustrate from this talk, firstly, A, that biometric data is quite complex under the Act, and secondly, that it's really important to work not just with the different articles of the Act, but also look carefully at the definitions and even the recitals. Okay, so for the purpose of this case study, let's imagine that you work in a legal compliance team at a large private sector university based in, let's say, a semi-rural part of France. And now there's two things to point out here. Firstly, I mention a private sector because there are certain obligations, as I mentioned earlier, that apply to deployers who are public authorities. So I'm keen to just steer away from that for just simplicity's sake. And also that they're based in France, just so that there's no doubt that the EU AI Act applies. I will caveat saying that I'm English law qualified, so not advising on specific French-related laws and guidance, but just more for illustration purposes only. Okay, so let's set the scene. Imagine that you are in the legal or compliance team at this university, and one of your directors comes to you with three pressing issues affecting operations on the campus. Firstly, there is unauthorized access through the gates to the campus by personnel who are using fake ID. Secondly, staff morale on campus is really low and he'd like to improve it. And thirdly, there have been various protests and vandalism around the campus by animal rights activists who are aware of animal testing ongoing at some of the laboratories. So your director would like to use AI tools to address each of these three scenarios. Firstly, with the unauthorized access to the gate, he'd like to use iris scanning technology to confirm that the people who are getting access are the correct staff members or other contractors. Secondly, in relation to the staff morale issue, he wants to use emotion recognition cameras to identify those people who are demoralized by studying their facial images and putting them forward for motivation training. And then thirdly, with regards to the protests, he wants to basically use a database of known troublemakers and their facial images and identify them using facial recognition technology or even gait analysis to measure how they walk and their posture, and to identify them and basically then deploy security guards to remove them from campus. And let's say, again, for argument's sake and simplicity, that there's no law enforcement aspect to this or criminal investigation purposes. Okay, so the questions he has for you is, are these cases permissible under the EUAI Act? And secondly, if they are, what are our obligations as a deployer? So one of the first places to look when considering these is, as Alex said, Article 5, to see whether they're prohibited in the first case. Because if they are, then there's just no point in proceeding. So look at Article 5. Part of that immediately jumps out, and that's in relation to the proposed use for the emotion recognition for improving staff morale, is that a particular prohibited practice is, I'll read the text, placing on the market the putting into service the specific purpose or use of AI systems to infer emotions of a natural person in the areas of workplace and education institutions, except where the use of the AI system is intended to be put in place or into the market for medical safety reasons. Okay, so we're using it for emotion recognition, and emotions are set out in Recital 18, which meant things like happiness, sadness, anger, surprise, disgust, embarrassment, satisfaction, amusement. Interestingly, it doesn't mention pain or fatigue or mere expressions. But you know, clearly we can confirm someone's morale from their emotions. However, we're not using it for medical or safety reasons here. It's for improving staff morale. So on that basis, this proposed use case is prohibited. So we can't proceed with that one. Okay, so we look through the rest of the prohibited list and confirm that the iris scanning for employee staff identification and the other aspects for identifying vandalism are not prohibited. Then we move to Annex 3, and in particular looking at the aspects relating to biometric data. Now, biometric data basically means information from which you can determine physical, physiological, or behavioural characteristics of someone. For instance, it mentions facial recognition, facial images, or what's called dactyloscopic data, which is essentially fingerprint scanning. So clearly, it's relevant to the other remaining use cases. So biometric data is a high risk if it involves what's called remote biometric identification systems, which is essentially where you're using identification systems to identify natural persons without their active involvement, typically at a distance, through comparing data of theirs versus that in a database. So this sounds a bit like some of the use cases we're looking at. However, it then goes on to say this shall not include AI systems intended to be used for biometric verification, the sole purpose of which is to confirm that the natural specific person is the person he or she claims to be. Okay, so that's basically just purely to identify somebody, in which case it's not high risk. So the iris scanning use case is not actually high risk. It's actually categorized as a lower risk under the Act. So yeah, essentially, we don't need to do the full assessment for that one. That's going to be much easier to essentially authorize. There's just obligations around things like transparency we need to be concerned about. And there's other aspects in terms of using it for what's called biometric categorization, in terms of assigning people based on attributes or characteristics. But we're going to say, for this example, we're not actually doing that. So we're going to focus then on the use of the facial recognition and gait analysis for the cameras, for the sort of troublemakers and protesters, particularly looking at, going back to Article 26, our obligations as a deployer. So let's say that we consider that it's a high-risk system and we want to proceed with essentially looking at what solutions are out there, and we identify a supplier of that. We then need to go through our obligations under Article 26 as a deployer. So as we were saying earlier, you need to make sure that you comply with the instructions for use from the provider. So obviously, things like the contract and accompanying technical documentation will be really important to make sure that you are, as a deployer, using it the way it should be. You want to think about things like, you know, how the system is hosted, it obviously depends very much on the nature of the system. You know, what other systems is it integrating with? What are the user access measures, other security measures in place to make sure that it's being used properly? Coupled with that is the requirement to ensure human oversight is used, and exactly who that is within the organization, you know, we need to be considered. You know, are they suitably qualified, sufficiently senior? Do they have the right support from management? They obviously need to understand the technology itself, but also the legal aspects, not just from the app, but, you know, overlapping laws like human rights and data protection, etc. Secondly, you want to think about the input data as well. As Alex was mentioning in his use case, we've got a database of known troublemakers. We need to obviously make sure that is representative and fair. We also obviously consider other types of data used, maybe testing and training to make sure that the cameras are used accurately. Paragraph 5 under Article 26 also requires you to have a sort of escalation notification procedure to identify and notify rapid notification to the provider and other parties if there is a serious incident. But the actual definitions of serious incident are unlikely to be particularly relevant in this use case. You know, there's no real threat to life, for instance. Perhaps the one obvious concern might be if there's sort of serious bias arising from use of the system that might need to be addressed. Looking at the other obligations of Article 26, you want to keep logs of the data for at least 6 months, unless it's provided otherwise under the EU or French law. So you want to think about how this ties in with existing data retention periods for use of CCTV, as well as local laws. You need to inform affected employees and consider how to do that. Maybe you want to liaise with the HR department and think about the communications. There are certain aspects, like I say, are not relevant because you're not a public authority or using it for law enforcement purposes, but you do, however, want to look at your overlapping aspects under a DPIA. You can ask information from the provider by virtue of Article 13, the information they have to set out regarding transparency. And also, you need to inform the other individuals, i.e. the protesters, they are subject to use of this high-risk AI system. So think about putting signage around the perimeter of the campus in relevant places and be prepared ultimately to cooperate with the relevant competent authority. So yeah, there's a lot to consider. So you'll need to obviously go through those steps and make sure that ultimately you can satisfy yourself as an organization that you're meeting those obligations and document that in the proper way. And you know, even then, it's by no means assured that you can necessarily do it in a compliant fashion. You need to go through that process and ultimately be satisfied that you can achieve that. So in summary, really, if you're looking at deploying a high-risk AI system, you need to really look carefully at the definitions and you know, understand what those are and what your obligations are. Are you a deployer, a provider, an importer or distributor, for instance? Are you caught within the scope of the EU AI Act? You want to think about, if that is the case, mapping out the existing systems you have, as well as the ones that you're proposing to purchase. Obviously, then you want to think about working through whether your proposed use or even existing one is one of those prohibited ones listed in Article 5. And then if not, then obviously understanding what obligations apply if it is high risk, looking through Annex 3, etc. Make sure you work carefully with the definitions and recitals of the Act, because they're really useful to flesh out some of the key terms. And ultimately, you want to really understand and get familiar with the obligations of your role and set out a kind of compliance framework so that you can you have all the documentation and measures in place to make sure you're doing it correctly. And ultimately, you've got to be aware of timescales as well, because, Alex, those are key under the Act. Do you want to explain a bit more about the key timelines?
Yes, well, thank you, Chris. The AI Act comes into force into different steps between 2024 and 2027. So the different obligations do not apply from the very beginning. So beginning from August 2024, the main requirements for high-risk AI systems come into force beginning in August 2026, and the last ones in August 2027. But even before this, you should consider whether the AI system used are being prohibited and take a closer look at the qualification requirements which already apply beginning from February 2025. In summary, the management of high-risk AI system requires a comprehensive understanding of regulatory requirements, practical applications, and effective risk mitigation strategies. So we hope with this podcast we have provided you with valuable insights and actionable steps to navigate the complexities of high-risk AI systems in the coming year. And thank you for your attention. And please, in case you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.